that being with Jesus. They carry the presence of the radiance of the glory of God. They just started going, man, who are these people? Well, where's Jesus? Oh, he's in heaven. How on earth could these disciples have been with Jesus in the book of Acts when Jesus is in heaven? How on earth could Stephen's face change and look like an angel and see heaven open wide? He said, I see heaven open wide. As he spoke it out, they stoned him to death. But this man was moving into a place where he was continually starting to see heaven open wide. Great miracles were taking place, and his countenance, his face, started to look like an angel. How many know that when someone's been in the presence of God, they look differently? They look different. It's not a natural beauty. Nothing that the Avon lady's ever going to do to you. Or a zillion faceless. Ain't going to work. Because the presence of God brings the beauty of Christ, and it's the most attractive thing, is the beauty of holiness. Because if you come into the holiness of God and see the presence and radiance of His glory, then you are spoiled for this earth. So the blood has life. And you've got to die to get an inheritance. And our inheritance is to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Our inheritance is to be filled with all the blessings of heaven, to carry all the riches that He's given to us. There's golden oil being poured out upon saints that are open to come in. There's a fragrance. There's stuff that will be transferred into you because His blood has paid the life that's in His blood. What was in His blood? The Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that gives life. So that what was in the blood of Jesus was the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? When Jesus died, it said, the Spirit brought Christ back from the dead. Resurrection power. And the same Spirit that brought Christ back from the dead dwells within us. That means if we have the same Spirit that brought Christ back from the dead, do you realize that if you've died to Christ in sin and been buried with Him in baptism and you are one of His, guess what? You have the same anointing power of His presence within you that can transform and bring life back into that which is dead. As sons and daughters of God, you can speak life and see life take place. You can speak things. Do you understand? There's a place where you can speak creatively what God's speaking to you. That's an inheritance. It is also called the cup of blessing. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16. The cup that we drink is a cup of blessing. Not a cup of curses, a cup of blessings. So when we come and drink the wine, the blood, signifying Christ's blood, we're drinking a cup of blessing unto ourselves. It means the blessing breaks curses, doesn't it? Christ on the cross became a curse. Is that true? Do you understand that the cross took all these horrible things, sin, death, curses, sicknesses, upon His body? So that when we drink and when we take, we're not drinking those curses and sicknesses and diseases into us. We're not drinking of the blood poured out upon the cross of Christ. We're drinking the blood of what? Of the life and the blessings of God. Psalm 116 verse 13 says, that cup is a cup of salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So Jesus died taking all the unforgiveness and all the bitterness and anger and hatred upon Him so that when we drink His blood, we have the blood of forgiveness. He forgives us. It says in 1 John 1:7 that if we confess our sins, His blood cleanses us from all sin. Understand when I'm talking about this, I'm not negating the cross. I'm not negating His sacrifice. I'm just saying that when you come and drink of Christ, you're not drinking curses unto yourself. You're not drinking stuff that's taken on the sin and the unforgiveness and bitterness of the world. We're drinking unto ourselves life, healing, salvation, forgiveness. Jesus in Hebrews 10 verse 19 entered the holy place through the blood. Through the blood of Jesus, we can enter into the holy place. So through applying the blood of Christ, we can enter into the holy place. Don't wait until you die to enter into the holy place. Don't wait. If we have access to it now, why not go there? If you don't know you can go there, why would you even bother trying? It's been inaugurated through the blood of Jesus, through the new covenant, that we can come into the holy place. This is talking about being sons and daughters of God. This is talking about your inheritance. This is about being caught up into heavenly places. This is about being seated in heavenly places. How many know if you're seated in a heavenly place in your spirit, you'll actually see the world differently from how you see it now? You'll see it from His perspective. If you're lifted up and caught up into His place, how many know your worries and troubles and tribulations seem insignificant compared to the hope of glory that's waiting you? How many know you'll find the grace and mercy to continue on through this messed up, demonic, over-oppressed world and still walk in faith and walk in forgiveness and walk in love and walk in life and peace and the blessings of God, because you're not in this world. Where the treasure is where your heart is. If your heart's up there, how many know you want to spend a bit more time where your heart is? If you've given your heart to somebody, wouldn't you like to hang around the person you gave your heart to? If you've given your heart to a girlfriend or a lover, how many know you want to hang around that person that you think is the most beautiful thing that ever walked on the planet? Called the ways of the world, and it's called the heart of the world, it's called the teachings of the world. If you love someone, you give them your heart. How many know you'd stop in the crowd when you see that woman walking, you just go, oh man, look at her. Everyone else has faith and insignificance. How would you like to find that kind of intimacy and love with Jesus? That everything else, all the crowds, all the people in the church fade into insignificance when you come here, because you don't really give a rip what they think, because your whole heart and life is just gone. You have captured my heart. You have captured my attention. You have my heart. You have my focus. You have my spirit. I want to spend as much time with you and walk in the spirit as much as I can and not get caught up into the ways of this world and the flesh of this world. Hebrews 9:14 says, He cleanses our conscience from dead works. That's what the blood does. It cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Not a dead God, a living God. Not to worship a dead God, to worship a living God. I'm just going to try and get this right home into your spirit. Not a dead God, a living God. And it will cleanse your conscience. Clean. How many have had their conscience pretty well smashed up and defiled? The blood of Jesus will actually cleanse that conscience if you repent. Acts 26 verse 18, Paul said, I always try and maintain a clear conscience before God in heaven, before man on earth. How many know a lot of people don't do that anymore? They just think, well, I've got my conscience clear before God, but I'm certainly not going to sort it out before man. Do you realize that some of the greatest revivals that ever hit this planet are where men started to sort out their sin with other men? One of the greatest fruit of the Welsh revival is that men who had been stealing stuff out of the mines started bringing the tools back and the chairs back into the smoko room. And the boys who were in the white collar crime, ripping off the accounts, suddenly saw men who were very poor men bringing back things like toolkits and chairs and tables and mugs and saying, I'm stole these things, and giving them back. So they put repentance. When Zacchaeus would repent, Jesus said, salvation has come into your house. What did Zacchaeus do? He actually gave some money back, didn't he? The Old Testament was you add 25% of that which you've ripped off. If you've stolen stuff, you gave it back. How would you like to go back and sort out all the stuff you've ripped off? Get to the root of the issue. The Lord had me do that. Why not sort it out now? Why wait until you die? Some men's sins come forward before them in the judgment, other men's sins follow them. I'd rather have none before me or behind me. I'd rather have most of them sorted out. If I could get them all sorted out, it'd be brilliant. They found men in the Welsh revival fall on the ground, walking home. Men in business suits just fall to the ground, start weeping, under conviction. Most lucky knowing that the men down here on the floor were repenting and experienced revival. These men are up here ripping off, you know, thousands of pounds. Suddenly realized that their sin was as evident to these men. These men were making restitution. Put your money where your mouth is. How many know people get sick of repentance when they know that that man who's coming to church has been ripping off people down the road for many, many years. She says, well, I'm forgiven by God now. And they might say, well, yeah, you owe me, buddy. You flipping religious hypocrite. Yeah, I'll move on from that one. Clear conscience. Revelations 5, 9 and 10. The blood that was shed purchased men from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, that they might be a kingdom and priests to our God. So if God's blood is actually going to save, it's out there to save the world. From every nation, every tribe, every tongue. See, the heart is that God sent His Son. And He actually sends us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You understand at the end of all the gospels there's that thing? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's a sense of you being sent. Because when you receive this blessing as a son and daughter of God, and you start to grab the heart of Jesus, you realize the heart of the Lord is that He wants to see people healed and saved and delivered. If you actually allow Him to come into you, He'll change your heart and give you a passion for souls, give you a passion for lost people. For people who've got no food, who've got nothing. No clothing, no house, no nothing. You'll have such a move on your heart, you want to actually help wherever you can. Whatever means you can, you want to be a blessing, you want to help. You want to reach out, you want to pray, you want to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a place where the Spirit of God comes upon you and you suddenly realize that you have a purpose and a destiny, that you have something in the kingdom to do. You realize, my dear, what have I been doing? Selfish, self-centered, self-preservation, self-survival, selfishness. Do you realize that most people just look after themselves and their own? They're busy surviving. Do you realize the principles of why they don't understand the overflowing blessing of God? It's because they spend all their time looking after themselves. When Jesus said, don't worry about how you clothe yourself, how you feed yourself, how you look after yourself. I'll look after that. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first my presence. And then you'll suddenly realize you become a priest of God. You become a blessing of God. You become part of His kingdom here on earth. We'll move on with that one too. Didn't seem to go very far. Revelation 7 verse 14. The blood makes our robes clean and white. So the blood cleanses us. You understand how much this blood actually does? It's all just really good stuff. It just cleanses us. So we stand in robes of righteousness before the throne of God, worshipping Him in the Spirit, and we can do that now. We can be caught up into His presence and start worshipping Him. Because what happens is that when you start doing that, the tangible presence of God comes upon you and you're in this world physically. Sometimes God actually takes you out, but often you're just here and the presence of God starts to touch other people because the kingdom of God comes upon you. The new priesthood, the new anointing of God comes upon you. You start ministering life. Revelations 12:10-11. Most people are overcome by a lot of different things. Here it says we overcome. Here's another thing the blood does. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we do not love our life even unto death. So three very powerful things to be an overcomer. How? The blood of Jesus. The life of Christ. The presence of the Spirit of God in us, cleansing us, purifying us, transforming us. So as we allow His life that flows from His Spirit into us, we stand in the blood of the Lamb. Under the power of God, the enemy can't touch us. The angel of death can't touch us. It's in God's time when we go, not the devil's. And our testimony. How many know that you have a testimony? The testimony is something that you build by developing a relationship with Jesus, an intimacy with Him. Faith comes by hearing. So if you hear something and you obey it and you watch that thing come to pass, how many know your faith will increase? If God says, look at that person over there has got cancer, and you say, Lord, I don't really know, but you step out in faith and say, I think God's told me that you've got cancer and I'd like to pray for you. Is that okay? And they say, yes, I have got cancer. And you pray for them and they get healed miraculous. How many know that would increase your faith? Faith comes by hearing, but you've got to do something with what you just heard, haven't you? You've actually got to do something. You've actually got to buy it. How many know that you can have egg on your face? But that's okay, you're learning. That's why the best place to practice is the church, isn't it? Hopefully they're a bit more forgiving. Hopefully. How many know you can get killed by friendly fire? Yep. and that we do not love our life even unto death. That means death to self. That means the cross. How can something good come out of death? Well, Jesus said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it shan't bear any fruit. How many like to be fruitful? How would you like to die? It's amazing, isn't it? Incredible. No one's got their hand up. All of us want to be fruitful, but we don't want to die. What good could come out of death? What good came out of Jesus dying? Eternal life, glorified life, resurrection life. How would you like to die? How would you like to die to your sin and then die to your pride and to your ambition and yourself and your arrogance and your pride and all the other stuff you're full of? How would you like to die to all that rubbish and then actually be alive to goodness and holiness and purity and the power of God and the life of God and find that everything you've died to is nothing in comparison to the weight of the glory of the revelation that He gives you and the impartation of His tangible presence? How would you like to have all of that stuff given when you actually die to all the other rubbish of the world? To all the lust, all the pride of life, all the arrogance, all the images, all the pictures, all the performance, all the fear of man. How would you like to die to all that? The judgments, the criticism, more worried what the next door neighbour thinks and whether your blinking garden looks any better than the... Oh, he gives a rip about it. Spend all your time looking after your physical house and your own spiritual house is an absolute mess. You're looking at the gutters on your own house and the old plumbing in your house is ruined. You haven't got living waters flowing through. It's rusted and it's all blocked up. Behold, He makes all things new. Is He making you new? Are you going to walk in the newness of life? Are you going to walk in the anointing of that life? Are you allowing the death of self to actually bring forth the true identity? Will you actually trust God enough to die to find who you really are? Or are you going to live in what other people expect you to be? What family? How many got jumped through hoops and great expectation? Everyone understand that terminology? Your performance for acceptance. You perform to be accepted. You perform for your parents, your neighbours, your friends, your loved one to try and be accepted. True acceptance comes from Christ. True identity is in Him. Die to what people think. It's called the fear of man. It'll be challenging. There is a book of life written with the blood of Jesus. He purchased us with His blood. Do you realize that book is something that is written in the blood because all the holy things were cleansed in Hebrews with His blood? Can you understand that? A book of not death, a book of life. A book of life. That you might live in His life. He became poor that you might be rich. He died that you might have life. He took the curses that you might be blessed. He took the sicknesses that you might be healed. Everything about this communion, everything about it, is a picture of Him giving life to us. And yet I was brought up in an Anglican church, a high Anglican church in a middle class home, and what did I come away with? It's all about death. Very morbid, very, very dour, very pensive, but absolutely no life in it. I think half the time I was drinking judgment to myself. I don't think I was drinking life. Because I wasn't even saved. How many know if you take communion and you aren't even saved, you're in trouble? You're in trouble. I tell people in our church, if you're not saved, don't you dare touch this communion because you'll be drinking judgment unto yourself because you're not under the blood and you're certainly not under the grace of God. So get saved first. The trouble is we made this into a ritual. We had to be confirmed, didn't we, before they let us drink it. Just get saved. The confirmation is with the work of the Spirit. Confirmation comes from the Holy Spirit. When you're giving your heart to God, your conscience has been cleansed, then you come to communion knowing that you are His. I am yours and you are mine. My beloved is mine, you know? You can sing song of songs. You can go, yes. Last one, and then we'll pray. I'm sorry for taking so long. Marriage supper. Do you realize that the word supper is the same word used in the Greek for the communion? For the Lord's communion, you understand? And there's in Revelations 19 verse 9, there is the marriage supper of the Lamb. What do you think that's going to be like? the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're going to have a feast with him. But it says, blessed are those who are invited to it. Do you realize there could be a difference between those who are actually the bride and who are their spectators? Just a thought. Blessed are all those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So he says you're blessed that you're invited, but how would you like to be the bride? Do you realize there's a lot of difference being the bride than being part of the guest's party, watching the wedding? Do you understand there's a difference? Huge difference between being the bride versus being a spectator in the congregation to see the marriage supper. Who do you think is going to marry Jesus? All the church? Or those who have their heart prepared and purified as this virgin, spotless, ready for him? Do you realize there could be multitudes of spectators who are part of the body? May not be the bride. Do you realize that God's not ungracious, but he also knows the hearts of all men? I don't want to just be at the feast. I would love to be part of the bride whose heart is prepared to be with him. And have counted the cost and denied themselves and sanctified and purified themselves and pursued him and just said, yes, Lord, I will pay whatever price it is because I want intimacy above life. I know that you are life itself. I want to have communion and fellowship with you. Not just through a ritual, not just through a once a month or once a week where I share bread and wine. I want to do this in remembrance of you every day. I want to prepare my heart daily. You with me? Whether I take the emblems and the significance of a physical bread and wine, I will take the sense of your living word. I'll take the sense of your cleansing power. You understand? I'll take the risen Savior. Many people still see Jesus on the cross. Religion does this. They spend all the time. You realize the cross is the beginning of it? It's not the end. Where is Jesus now? Christ has risen. When you pray, who do you see? A dead Savior or do you see a risen, glorified Savior? Do you see someone who died for your sins, but do you go past that and see the fact that he has risen, is glorified, and you can be transformed by his glory on your inner man? And you can be caught up and seated in heavenly places, that you can be transformed by the radiance of his Spirit and the radiance of his presence and be transformed as you stand before him. Jill, have you got a song? You got a song you'd like to sing? Yeah, would you like to come up and get a mic? Here's one. I'll turn mine off so we don't get any horrible, messy things. God, create in me a pure heart. And that is to create a right spirit in me, cleanse me from all my sins, that I might, as the Lord does that, teach transgressors your ways. Create in me a clean heart. And there's such a call of God's heart to create in us a clean heart. So I'd like you just to spend a moment before we take the bread and the wine to allow the Lord just to create in you a heart that seeks Him. Just to allow whatever the word of the Lord spoken to you today, and just through that beautiful song that Jill just sang, to minister to you before we break the bread and the wine. Jesus' precious name. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, today is a great day to get saved, to repent of your sins. Father, we thank you that you came to give us life. We thank you that you are the bread of heaven, that you are the bread of life. You are the Word of God made flesh. We thank you that you've come to share living words with us, the Word of the Lord. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, and childlike heart to obey what you speak to us today. We thank you, Lord, for the bread. So we pray a blessing upon this physical bread, and it's a symbol of remembrance that you are the bread of heaven, that you are the living word of God. And we pray, Lord, and thank you that there is healing and there is life in it. And we just pray a blessing upon it and break it and share it amongst the body of Christ here today. Amen. So I'd like if we perhaps just have, I was just thinking perhaps in small groups. So you could actually come up, one person come up and take some of the bread and just share it and pray with the people that are there. Does that make sense? Talk to them. And if you just get into small groups of say 5 or 6 people and just see if there's any prayer needs, and we're going to get one of the person from that group just to come with some and take some of the bread from here. And take it to their small group, and then we'll pass the cup around. Is that okay? So we just perhaps maybe do turn your chairs around. I don't know how you do that, but just make it a little bit more comfortable.
Stand up
might be easier. Just have someone come up, and we'll take some of the bread with us. question? No, we won't give you that big a piece. Question. The strong hands, eh? Bless you. Bless you, sir. Yeah, bless you. Bless you. Bless you, sir. Ah, good. Thanks. Bless you, sir. Bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you. That is all.
That's wonderful. Cheap, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Our Father.
Hmm.
Are you on off?
Yeah, I'm off.
Yeah, I just.
Religious stronghold of the Mass and the Communion. So it's the tenets that you're hitting of religion as they unite. Confirmation and Communion, I just think they don't like it. Should we just pray? Listen over them.
Yeah.
And Father, we thank you for the cup of blessing. We thank you that that blessing again is full of life, full of forgiveness, full of amazing healing. And Lord, we bless you and we thank you that we can partake as brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of God, of the new covenant in your blood. And Lord, we thank you that you have poured your life out that we might have eternal life, resurrection life, the life of your Spirit within us, that, Lord, every part of our being might be full of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to pass a few cups around and perhaps share it into the next group. So, cup of blessing. There's where I've been. If someone doesn't want real wine, there's two different cups out there. You might want to, some people don't want to take real wine, so feel free. There's Robina.
Cup of blessing. Amen.